down now. What kind of tree fits in your hand? A palm tree. You guys are good. Imagine. What is a palm tree's favorite countertop? Pomegranate. If you're a builder, okay, you know, granite countertop, that's right. What do you call a dog that lives on top of a palm tree? A cocoa mutt. You know, a dog, a mutt, coconut, cocoa mutt. Okay, they didn't work this morning, but yeah. All right, well, you know, I was trying to stay with the palm theme, but do you know, and I just realized this week, I didn't know it, but do you know what they do with the palm leaves after Sunday? Yeah, I didn't realize that. So in the Catholic Church, they bless the leaves, the branches, the palm branches. So you can't throw them out because now they've been blessed, right? So they take them all after their service, and then they burn them. And then next year, the following year, they use them for the ashes for Ash Wednesday. Yep, so that's all. So now that leads down to what happened to my nose. There's two stories, and you can tell me which one you want to believe. So story A, as I was leaving the jungle this morning while I was cutting fresh palm trees for the leaves, I was climbing up in one of the trees, and as I hit it with my machete coming out of the jungle, it fell down and hit me right in the nose. That story A, who wants to believe that one? Yeah, no. That'd be great. Come out of the jungle nice and early in the morning with palm leaves. True story is, it revolved around the palm tree, the palm leaves. So they were in my Jeep. And then the van was sitting next to it. I was taking stuff out this morning and I opened up the Jeep and, the palm leaves were in the back of the Jeep. Someone gave them to us yesterday. So we passed them around and used them this morning. And then, they were in there, and then someone else gave us, a shamrock shake that was frozen for Jen. And I was like, okay, whatever. And that was all in my car, and I forgot it was there yesterday. So the frozen shamrock shake spilled in my car, in the back of my car. So there's green all over. I'm like, oh man. So that's all spilled in the back, and I'm getting the stuff out, moving stuff in the van. Meanwhile, my hatch has been open for 15 minutes, the entire time. So I'm putting stuff in the van. I go over to get the palm branches, and as I walk over, and I'm looking at the palm branches. Well, they get weak sometimes. And man, that's one thing that drives me nuts. When I get a car, it should last for 500 years. Like, you buy something, one time, that should last forever. I should never have to worry about those adjusters that, or what are they called? The hydraulic, you know, whatever they're called, pumps or springs or whatever. Well, they get weak, and it was fine for 15 minutes, and I walk over to get the other, and as I was walking, I guess this was falling down, and as soon as I did this thing went like this, and it clobbered me right in hard. I went down on the ground, and I got a confession. I probably shouldn't have said what I said. Probably a pastor shouldn't say, but it probably was I'm a sinful person. So as we get into the scripture this morning, we will know that, praise the Lord for the Lord, because we have salvation, because none of us are perfect. So, title of today's message. So that's the true story. I ran into the back of my Jeep, and it was not a good morning. But it was a good morning. Palm Sunday. That's what we're looking at this morning. Palm Sunday. We think about Palm Sunday. We go into this week of Christ is like, you know, Jesus just healed Lazarus, and And there's all this excitement taking place in the church, like, well, before the church, but in the Jewish community, there's all this excitement in the disciples. And then we roll into this week, and then all of a sudden we hit Friday, and it all breaks loose because the plan and the prophecy of who Jesus is all happens in this week, right? It happens. Our salvation, if Jesus wouldn't have been able to be following what God wanted him to do, we wouldn't probably even be here today, right? Because Jesus, as our Savior, loves us. Jesus, as our Savior, was willing to do what needed to be done for us, for the love of us. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you, even with this big thing on my nose, you let it happen for a reason, and thank you for a headache and blood coming down my nose this morning, Lord. And Lord, just whatever you're trying to teach me, help me to learn it. And Lord, we just pray, as we come into this week is the week that means so much to us as believers. Help us to remember that as we're walking out amongst our friends and family and our community, to be good stewards of the gospel that you want us to continue to tell others. Help us to remember that this week. In your name we pray, amen. So we've been going through Titus. We jump back from Titus because of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, you know, as we get into this week and we look at the story, and you know, it's sometimes pastors and churches, they try to bring something new out of stuff. And the Bible is always, should be always speaking to us in new things. But the reality, and I tell people all the time, the reality of a scripture, the reality of this book, is it's ancient. The story isn't changing. This story that we have in scripture is the story. It's not changing. So, but we need to be consistent in how we present and speak of who Jesus is and what scripture tells us about Jesus Christ. So, we're looking this morning at John chapter 12. We're going to be starting in verse 1. We're going to read through this. And this is, as I mentioned, so Jesus, they're having this great celebration. They're honoring Jesus for what he just did. He's coming out of healing and raising Lazarus from the dead. And there's all this excitement taking place. So this is starting in verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, Why hasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. And then Jesus said, "Leave her alone." Jesus replied, "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." How the whole world has gone after him. If you look at it, there's a lot going on in these 19 verses. And we kind of wanted to set the stage and kind of and to put it out to so we can think of everything that was what we just read. There's a lot of stuff. So they're at this banquet, they're at this party, a dinner party to honor Jesus, to honor who Jesus was and is, and to honor him for the healing of Lazarus. So they wanted to honor him. So he's in this house. And if you're looking at your notes, so they were there at the dinner to honor him, to bring this great respect, because they're beginning to realize as Jesus' ministry was taking place and coming to an end, which they didn't know yet, they see that Jesus has these miraculous powers, as they've seen. I mean, who else raises someone from the dead? Nobody. So now the message is really starting to spread and like a wildfire. So all these people, these Jews in their towns and cities are going out telling people now about Jesus. So they're in Bethany together, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're all there, and the cost of this, right? There is a cost. When you think about the cost of things, so there's a cost to put a party together. Did anyone have a complaint about this cost? No, it was there to honor Jesus. Then it goes into another cost, and when I think about the cost that we need to endure, that we should be enduring as well of our love for Christ. There's costs involved. There's always a cost. Mary had a cost, which we see that Judas didn't like, right? So a pint of perfume, nard. When I was a kid and I heard this, I was like, lard? Why would they pour lard on Jesus' feet? It's nard. Do you know what the difference of lard? You know what lard is, right? Lard. So you have the fat of an animal, the lard, which potato chips fried in lard are always good, but we won't get it. But it's nard. So it was spike nard. It's a perfume. It's this really expensive at the time of perfume. But this is a pint of fluid. A pint. This. It's right here, the pint. 16 to 20 ounces. That's a lot of stuff, right? This, a pint of nard. A year's wages. So we talk about the cost. Mary, do you think she went out and bought a pint of nard, which was an oil perfume essence? Do you think she bought it all at one time? Probably not. If we think about how we are, think about a car. So a car today is 50, a cheap car anymore, new is 50 grand, right? Now trucks are like 100,000. That's nuts. But anyhow, so you have a $50,000 vehicle. You pay that over years, right? Till you're done paying. And that's about the the income of an annual salary of somebody, 50,000 is the median. They say 50 to 75,000 is the current United States wage for a worker, for an income. $50,000. That's about a car, right? So if we go to buy a car, do we go out and drop cash down, typically? Most people don't. They put it on a payment plan and they pay it off over 4 years, 5 years. So I'm assuming, this is all assumptions now, I'm assuming Mary was buying Nard over time. Was she buying a little bit here, a little bit there, and over time she has now, at this time, they're together, sitting in this room, honoring Jesus at this dinner party. All this stuff's going on. The disciples are there. We know because Judas was there, and they're sitting there talking. And she takes her $50,000, whatever it was at the time, but that's what we're dealing with. If this was $50,000, and she loves Jesus so much that she just takes it and just dumps it out on his feet. 50 grand. A whole year's wages. Right there. Done. She was planning over time as she collected the nard, the perfume. And she was willing of the cost, a cost. There's a cost here. To pour it out on Jesus' feet. And she probably got every last drop out. And then she takes her hair, which we know the glory of a woman and her, you know, women spend a lot of time on their hair. Roger, how much time do you spend on your hair? Jim, how much time do you spend on your hair? Yeah, how much time do I spend on my hair? No, but put some stuff in it. I try to make it look clean. I'm out the door. Women, they spend time on their hair, right? Is it true? Yeah. Stan, oh yeah. So they spend time on their hair. Why? Because it's the glory of a woman is her hair. So here, Mary takes her hair. She just unloaded her annual wage on a man that she has seen do miracles, on a man that she has listened to for the last so many years of saying who he was as the Messiah. And she believes it. She takes everything she has from her nard, pours it on his feet, and takes her hair, puts her hair down, the glory of a woman, and puts it onto Jesus' dirty, stinky feet of our Savior and washes them off. There's a cost, right? The love that she had for her Savior and our Savior. You can see that right there. So that's taking place in this dinner party. But what, as we get into this, this time, it's a spiritual battle. We know we're in a spiritual battle. And you see this taking place in this time. So Jesus just got done. They're in Bethany and they're in this town and they're having this dinner party. And right away, man, Satan is like, okay, this is not good. And the battle starts. Mary, we see doing this great act of love to our Savior with the nard, cleaning his feet with her hair. And then what happens right away? Boom, that deception rolls in and we go from hair to hate. And we see the hate taking place amongst the disciples. And Judas Iscariot looks at that and says, whoa, we could have used that. All that money, a year to help the poor. And we know that it was a farce, right? That's what he said, but they know it was a lie. The hate, the deception against Christ that Satan was using to blind people, Satan was filling Judas. And as that took place, you know, so many times I think about it as people. Do we do that same thing so many times, right? The hypocrisy. We'll say something. Well, you know, this is really to help the people. This is really to help somebody, and people take the money and they pocket it. That happens. Unfortunately, doesn't that happen? I've been scammed. I'm sure Who else has been scammed in here over something with money? Yeah, a lot of us. It happens. But they use this hypocrisy, this evil then now started to roll in to the disciples, and it, boom, that money, that love of money now hits Judas, and we see that begin to unfold. So we have this honor, and we have this evil that's starting to take place. And this hate begins to build. And when hate and evil set in your heart, what happens? It begins to build, doesn't it? Unless we are walking with the Spirit and working our salvation with the Spirit as we walk and as we sin, it comes so quick. Just like me this morning when that door hit me in the face. We are such wicked, evil people that things just spew out of our heart. It's the truth. When we can't help it sometimes. But Christ, we have to, bam, walk ourselves back and say, Lord. Because we have to keep the Lord the focus of our life. Because humanity is just so brutal upon us. It really is. The evil that takes place within us. And we see that if we don't take care of it, what happens? It continues to grow. Just like the Pharisees and Judas, they make this plan. We haven't seen that plan yet, but it's working. It's starting here in Bethany. It's starting here where the Pharisees now, they already wanted to kill Jesus. And we see in verse 11. Verse 10, where now they also want to kill Lazarus, not just Jesus. So this evil starts, this hate takes place in their heart. And now they want to kill Lazarus as well. A couple years ago, there was a pastor within an hour of here. And you probably read the story because it was shocking. A youth pastor sexually assaulted one of his teens in his youth group, and he got her pregnant. And all this came out, and the church did what they should do, right? They call the cops and say, this guy just did this. Arrest him. That's what should happen. So he was arrested and went to jail. So the sin took place. And instead of dealing in his heart with the sin, what did he do? He let bitterness and anger and hate grow within him. Instead of saying, man, I made a sinful, awful mistake and coming to the Lord in repentance, that didn't happen at all. A youth pastor. And so now he's in jail. As he's in jail, he goes to his inmate buddy and puts a hit out and says, hey, I'll pay you. Does anyone remember this story? I'll pay you $5,000 if you can get me someone on the outside to go kill that pastor who turned me in. And then I'll pay him more money if they go and kill the judge that sentenced me to be here. And this just happened a couple of years ago on a church, from a church that you well know. And it was shocking. But the hate that can take place, I'm sure when that guy was in school, was he thinking he would end up in this spot of trying to kill a pastor? Him being a pastor? Did he think that he was going to go molest a child? No, but what happens? The sin begins to sink into people's hearts and into our minds, and we don't confess it, and we end up, since we're evil people, we have problems. And if we don't take care of it, it leads and grows, just what happened in this story. So all these people are sitting in Bethany. There's people that hear Jesus is coming and going to be moving to Jerusalem. There's the dinner party that's taken place. And there's this love from people upon Jesus. And then there's this hate, and that hate begins to grow. And as we see it, as this next week takes place, man, that sin, that hate begins to ramp up because we know what happens on Friday. But right now, Jesus, the Jews are saying, Jesus, that's why they were waving these around, right? I mean, they were waving the branches. They're throwing them out for the donkey to walk down. Because that's a sign of greatness. It's a sign of this great leader. That's what was taking place this day, right here. So as they begin to move, and the story continues to go on to tell us that as he goes in to Jerusalem and they start putting down the palm branches, they see a donkey. And then other gospels talk more about how that all came to place, because Jesus said, go get this donkey. But in John, it talks about that they got the donkey. But the gospels covers all this, all four gospels. And as we look at John, these were taking place. The interesting thing is so many people say, well, you know what? Jesus looked at scripture and he told the disciples what to do. They looked at the Old Testament prophecies and they look at this thing. So they told him what to do. So these prophecies really didn't happen. But Jesus riding, and we talked about this before, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was prophesied 500 plus years before Christ was born. In Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah, which we know was a prophet. And it's great. We'll get into studying Zechariah too, about the encouragement that Zechariah gave to their community and the prophecy. Zechariah 9:9 says this, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about the Messiah to come, says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Gently, not with power, gently, on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It was prophesied of Jesus, the Messiah would take place. This would take place with the true Messiah. So this whole thing's kind of taken place. We go from this dinner party. We go from this time of this deception that Satan brings in now to people, and this hate is taking place. And all through this, why is this taking place? Because people's hearts are being open. In Bethany, they were open because they saw this miracle take place of this man come out of the tomb who was dead for days. And now all of a sudden people are talking. And the Jews are talking. And now all of a sudden the Pharisees are going, we're losing our power. They're starting to turn to who Jesus says he is. And they're actually believing it. We need to shut it down. And that deception starts to take place. But as we see, prophecy, what God speaks is the truth. When God speaks through the prophets, which we know he did speak through the prophets, that comes has to take place. This prophecy of Jesus riding a donkey, where the disciples were just following who Jesus was at the time, because it says in verse 16, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, that they had done these things to him. They were just going out doing what Jesus wanted them to do. They were just going out to get a donkey for the man that they believed to be the Messiah. They weren't even aware from what scripture says that they were fulfilling the prophecy at the time. They weren't aware that they fulfilled the prophecy until the Holy Spirit was given after the ascension of Christ. That's when all these things begin to come to knowledge of that in their mind and scripture of, wow, do you remember this is what we did? Did we realize that this was prophesied by Zechariah? All this stuff was taking place in these couple days, in this time right now. As we are into this week, I think the palm branches is something to remember, but is that what Christ would want us to be concentrated on? Burning some palm branches to save for the following year? No, I don't think so. I think when Jesus went into Jerusalem on the donkey, I think when God spoke of what this prophesied would be of who Jesus is, it wasn't for some of the traditions that we have. It wasn't for even us coming together in church to look back. It was for the purpose for us to continue to look, just like when we take communion, to look at our hearts, to know that we need a Savior. And just like it tells us in the Great Commission, that we, our job, is to keep speaking this book, this salvation, this Palm Sunday, which has taken place for thousands of years. The story hasn't changed. We need to continue to speak this story. And after we're dead and gone, the kids need to continue speaking this story. That's what Palm Sunday is about. Palm Sunday is about us continuing to promote and tell our friends and our families and people that we meet of what? That Jesus Christ came as our Savior, died for our sins, that He will take away your sins if you confess your sins and believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Because guess what? You're a sinner. Guess what? I'm a sinner. That's what we need to continue to tell our neighbors, our coworkers, these things. So as we look this week, if there's one thing, that's why if we look at encouraging each other, there's two things as a church that we need to remember our job. Two things, very simple. We encourage people to come to meet who Jesus Christ is. If they're searching, we should be telling them and showing them this is who Jesus Christ is. If someone isn't even searching but has questions, we need to be presenting that. We can't force people to become Christian. We can tell the story. And then if we find ourselves this story, do we find ourselves, when you look at yourself, you know your heart. Now I shared my heart with you because that's how I am. I'm going to tell you that when I do stupid things because I'm not perfect. But if you look inside of your heart, are there areas in your heart that you're filled with hate? That, man, I should really start working on this because we're looking at this week where this time of this dinner party to honor Jesus was taking place. And remember that hate was coming in there now. Satan was filling them up because he hated Jesus. He didn't want salvation to come. Where's your heart? And I can't answer that. I know where my heart is. I'm always praying and asking for forgiveness. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And then all of a sudden I'll have a problem. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't believe I'm stupid again. Yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. Fill me up. Okay, Lord, let me preach you. And sometimes it goes by where I feel like I'm walking somewhere. I feel like I should tell someone about Jesus, and I just don't have time. Yeah, that's boom. And I'm like, oh, man, that's awful. Because the Lord wanted me to speak with that person. And I blew right past what the Spirit was telling me. Because why? Because all of a sudden I became more important. I'm no better than Judas. We're no better than Judas. We see it taking place. We trick ourselves. Let's not trick ourselves. Palm Sunday. This Sunday, you go home. Take a branch home. I don't care if you burn it. You can save it next year and put it on your kids' heads or your spouse's head on the ashes or whatever. Take them home. But this week, as we come to Good Friday, as we come and we know that Christ in a couple days from this time, so many years ago, that he was going to be arrested. So many years ago that they were going to beat his body into you wouldn't even know who he was. Filled with blood, just like, bam, it's hurt this morning. I can't even imagine what Jesus went through. This week, think about your neighbor. Think about your neighbor. Look inside, because Friday, as we come, Friday, I love Good Friday services because it's such a time that we can come in and just reflect of ourselves. Look internally of, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Right? That's what we're walking into this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a great God. Lord, your prophecy that was given to the prophets that the disciples didn't know, that the disciples followed what they thought they were doing just to help Jesus through these times was prophesied about, and you knew it, and the prophets knew it, and Jesus knew it, and the Spirit revealed it to the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. Lord, help us to walk and think like the disciples, to walk and think like Mary, who was willing to give up a year's wages to pour out within 10 minutes and clean our Messiah's feet. Would I be willing to do that, I think, Lord? And I think about it. Would I be willing to do that? That cost of love that Mary showed makes me feel so small when I read this, Lord. Lord, help us this week. Help us and prepare our minds and prepare our mouth to encourage others this week, that if someone is searching you, that we will just open our mouth and say, oh, yeah, I know who Jesus is. Let me tell you about it. Whatever it may be, Lord, just help us to be bold for you. I pray for that. And Lord, I just also pray if there's anyone here that does not know you, that you will continue to speak to them until they find you as their Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.